This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Right, let's start then with the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph once again. So we're still busy in the same sugya, which is the sugya between the two dots, starting with Gufa about just a little bit more than halfway down the Amud on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, to the top of Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And I'm going to just run through the Gemara again and bring in a little bit of what we did as we build up. What we're going to be focusing on today is the idea of Bo Zeh V'Limed Al Zeh. The idea that the pasuk says two things. One of them is not really needed. We would, from the point of view of its own context and content, we would know it even if the Torah didn't tell us. The only reason the Torah tells us the second point is so that we know what the first point means. Bo zeh v'limed al zeh. This one comes to teach on that one. And the example that the Gemara gives, the prime example, is the example of Toshav v'sochir, as far as Achilas Trumo is concerned. That is a Kohen who has a slave who is a Toshav. That means he's binirta, he's working for more than the Shemitah year. That slave may not eat Truma. And a slave who's working only for 6 years certainly may not eat Truma. So clearly, if the Torah would tell us that a Sochir, one who's only working for 6 years, the other way around, if the Torah would tell us that even one who's working until the Yovel, 49 years, is not allowed to eat Truma, we would know that a Sochir may not also eat one. However, if the Torah if the Torah only told us the one case, since the Torah tells us that not by using the exact word, it doesn't say a man sold a kinyan shonim or a kinyan oilam, it doesn't use those words, it uses the word toshav and sochir. If we were told only once the word toshav or sochir was used on its own, we wouldn't know whether it was talking about a kinyan shonim or a kinyan oilam, whether it was talking about somebody who's working for until the end of the Yovel, or somebody who's only working until the Shemitah year, we wouldn't know. So we would have to say it's talking about the one that is the smaller chidush. The one with the smaller chidush in that case would be the sochi, the person who's a kinyan shonim. Since he's only working for a few years, he's not allowed to eat truma with the adon, who's a kohen. But I wouldn't then know the din of a kinyan oilam. So the Torah uses both terms, Sochir and Toshav, and tells us neither of them may eat Truma, so that we know from the use of both of the terms, we understand that the prohibition applies to both of them. That's an example of Bo Zeh V'Limed Al Zeh. The case of Sochir, the case of Sochir is brought so that we should know that when the Torah says Toshav, it means a Kinyan Shonim. And we discussed the uniqueness of that way of learning last week, and we're going to continue understanding the Bo Zeh V'Limed Al Zeh this week. So if we start off in the Gemara itself, what I want to get is a sense of how the Gemara works. So I'm going to move through the Gemara, just reading and translating it. And what we need to have in our minds as we grasp the sugya are the three views. There's the view of Rabbo, there's the view of Abaya, and there's the view of Mar Barav Ashi. And it's working with those three views that is what's going to concern us today. How are those three different opinions related to one another? So let's start with the beginning. Gufa, v'yotzo chinam eli yubei bagrus, ein kesef eli yubei narus. The Gemara starts off quoting a brisa, a mechilta. And what does the brisa say? From v'yotzo chinam we learn that she goes out of being an Amo Ivriyo when she becomes a Boigeris, 12 and a half. Ein Kesef, and then the Torah repeats, Ein Kesef, there's no money. That comes to teach us, Elu Yumei Nairus, that she goes out at the age of Nairus, when she's 12. Asks the Gemara the obvious question, V'lichtoiv Rachmon and Nairus V'loiboy Bagrus. Let the Torah just tell us that she goes out at Nairus, and I won't need to be told that she goes out at Bagrus. Omar Rabbo, Boze V'limid Alze. You're right, we don't need to be told Bagrus, because I know that if she goes out with Nairus, then certainly she isn't going to be an Amo Ivriya when she's a Boigeris. But I need the Bagrus case so that I know that the earlier case is in fact talking about a naira and not a boigeris. Once again, since the Torah is not using the actual terminology, naira and boigeris, it's leaving for us to figure it out. We wouldn't be able to figure out which one was being referred to unless both are mentioned. If only one were mentioned, we would assume it's boigeris, the one with the lesser chiddush. So the two are mentioned so that we should know that it includes naira. Midi dehava at tosha v'socher, in the same way as we work that principle in the case of tosha v'socher. Tanya, for we learnt in a brisa, Toshav zekoni kinyan oilam. When the Torah says that a Toshav may not eat of the truma of his owner who is a Kohen, we're talking about a kinyan oilam, a man who has been sold until the Yovel. Socher was sold himself until the Yovel. Socher zekoni kinyan shonim, and a Socher is one who has been sold only until the Shemitah. Yoma Socher, why does the Gemara have to say, why does the Torah have to tell us Toshav and Socher? Tell us Toshav, that if a man who is sold until the Yovel, he might be working for 49 years, nevertheless, he may not participate in the Truma of his owner, the Kohen. Lo Yoma Socher, I don't have to be told Socher. Vani Yoma, Kinyan Konui, Kinyan Oilom, Eno Oichel, Konui, Kinyan Shonim, Loi Kolshchein, I will know that from a Kalva Chomer. Answers the Gemara and explains the price. No, Ilu Kaina, you see, Yoma Toshav Ze Konui, Kinyan Shonim. I would have then interpreted the one word, Toshav, if only Toshav were used in the Pasuk, I would have interpreted Toshav to be talking about a Kinyan Shanim, about a man who's only sold for a maximum of 6 years, but I would not know that a person who sold for a long time until the Yovel may not eat either. I would have thought maybe he can eat. Bosochir v'limed al Toshav. So Sochir comes to teach me that Toshav means a kone kinyan oilam. Since we're told separately that a Sochir may not eat truma, what does the Torah mean when it says Toshav? It must clearly be talking about a kone kinyan oilam. She'afa pishe kone kinyan oilam eino eichel. Even though he's sold forever, technically speaking, eino eichel, he doesn't eat. So that's the first piece of Gemara, that's the Shita of Rabba, the first view, who learns in the Braisa, the reason we are told both for Yotzochinom and Ein Kosef is because if we were only told one, we wouldn't know that it was Naira, we wouldn't have known that a girl can leave the ownership of her master at the age of 12. We would have thought it was only a 12 and a half. Bozeh v'limed alzeh. We're going to come back to unpack this little piece of Gemara in greater detail in a few moments. But first, let's get the continuity of the sugya. Amale Abaye, so Abaye questions Rabba. Midami says, Abaye, you can't make a comparison between these two cases, the case of Toshav and Sochir on the one hand, and Amo Ivriya on the other one. Hosom Trey Gufei Ninu. There you're talking about two different individuals. One is a Toshav and one is a Sochir. And so the Gemara says, I don't need to be told Toshav, because I don't need to be told Sochir, because if a Toshav can't eat Truma, certainly a Sochir cannot eat Truma. Answers the Gemara, Bozeh v'limed alzeh. The Torah tells me both, because unless I had both, I wouldn't have known which one was being referred to. So the Torah gives me two halachas. Both halachas are true. The one is just redundant, other than playing the role of teaching me about the first one. So again, both statements are true. A Toshav may not eat Truma, and a Sochir may not eat Truma. My only question is, why tell me both? I can work the one out from the other. Tell me only Sochir, and I will. Tell me only Toshav, and I will know Sochir. On that, the Gemara says, Bozeh v'limed alzeh. That's fine, but you can't apply that to Amo Ivriya. Because here, so again, I want to buy Midami Hosam Tregufini, the Dechinami Kosov Rachmana Toshav, Nirza, Lo Yoichal. Because the Torah could theoretically even have written out Toshav clearly, Toshav Nirtzo Lo Yechel, V'hoda Kosov Idach, and then it would have said, a Sochir may also not eat. Have a Sochir Milta Da'atye B'kal V'chomer. You're right. Then I could ask, but why tell me Sochir? I know that a Toshav can't eat Truma, even though he's so much part of the family, he's been there for so long, he can't eat Truma. Certainly a Sochir cannot. V'milta Da'atye B'kal V'chomer Torah V'chosov Lokro. We have a principle that even something which can be extrapolated by means of Kal Vachomer, the Torah will sometimes write out explicitly. It will not leave us to work it out by Kal Vachomer, it will sometimes write it out explicitly. Elohocha, but in our case of the Amor Ivriyo, Chad Gufahi, Ki Nafkala Benarus Bagrus Marbayagame. We're not talking about two separate individuals, we're talking about one individual in two stages of life. The first stage, 12 years old, and the second stage, 12 and a half year old. If the Torah tells us that she goes out to freedom at 12, and she cannot be sold when she's older than 12, why am I being told that, if she's 12 and a half, she goes out? And my problem is not redundancy. My problem is it's not true. It's not true to say that a Bergerius goes out to freedom. A Bergerius never goes out to freedom because a Bergerius is never an Amor. So the Torah would have written something which is untrue. That's the way Rashi explains it. That's not the case in Tosha Vesoche. In Tosha Vesoche, the Torah writes two truths. Just that I don't need the two. I can learn the one from the other. Boze velimed al ze, I can answer. But here, the way we're learning is one of them is untrue. How can the Torah write something that's untrue? And so the Gemara appears to completely set Rabbo aside. And that's why Abaya says, Elo, Omar Abaya. That's why the Gemara says, Elo, Omar Abaya. Whenever the Gemara says, Elo, the Gemara is retracting from its previous statement. So it's not adding and it's not embellishing. When the Gemara says Elo, it's retracting. So Elo Omar Abaya means, so this is not Bozeh v'limit alzeh. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about a Bergeris who is an Eilonis. An Eilonis is a girl who is not fully feminine. So she doesn't mature as a normal girl does mature. She's never able to have children. She shows none of the signs of being a woman, and she doesn't develop puberty. So she kind of remains a ketana. She remains like a little girl and just grows in size, but in terms of sexual maturity, she remains a little girl. That's an eilonis. And we're talking about a beger de eilonis. An eilonis becomes a bergeris. She becomes a bergeris at age 20. Even if she has no signs of puberty and no signs of any kind of sexual maturity, at the age of 20, she's considered a gedola, she's considered an adult, and she has the full status of a bogeris. And there's a discussion in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel, does it work retrospectively? Does she become, now that we know that she's an islandist, do we say, well, in that case, she's really been an adult since she was 12 and a half? Because the only reason we waited is we thought she was a slow maturer. And if she was a slow maturer, so let us say, for example, she would have developed puberty at the age of 16, then she would have become a bergeris at age 16. But if she goes till 20 without showing any signs of puberty, then we say she's an eilonis, and she in fact became a bergeris at age 12 and a half. And again, there's a machlokes rishonim whether she became a 12 or a 12 and a half. But without going into that, it works retrospectively. And the other mandoma, the machlokes is Rav and Shmuel, the other mandoma says, no, it's from 20 onwards that she becomes a bergeris. Be that as it may, we're talking, says Abaya, about a beger eilonis. And what does that mean? Salka daita chamina benarus tepuk bevagrus li tepuk. If the Torah would only have said v'yotz ochinam and would not have said ein kosef, then I would have thought a bogeris gets free from her owner, but not a naira. And why would that be? And what kind of bogeris am I talking about? I'm talking about a bogeris de eilonis. And it comes to teach you, no, even a... It comes to teach you a bergeris de eilonis does get her freedom, and therefore that we learn from Ein Kosef, and therefore the v'yotzo chinam, or vice versa, and therefore the v'yotzo chinam would teach us that a naira, or vice versa, Ein Kosef teaches us that a naira goes free from her master, and v'yotzo chinam teaches us that even a bergeris de eilonis who never was a naira. So let's say she was sold at whatever age, and she never developed puberty, so she never had a chance to go free before. And we'll discuss in a moment, towards the end of the shiur, we'll discuss when exactly was she sold, that she's still a slave when she turns 20. We'll talk about that. But the fact is she never went through the naira stage. So the ptur, the heter that allows her freedom at naarus, she never got. Nevertheless, she becomes free at bergeris age. And that's what the Torah teaches us. So it's not that the Torah tells us something that's a lie. It doesn't tell us an untruth. We were worried. How can the Torah tell us that a bergeris goes free as an amo ivriya? when that situation can never exist. There cannot be a situation of a Begeris going free. No, says Abaya, there could be a situation of a Begeris going free if she's an Islanis, and she never was an Aro. In that situation, we're told the Beyotzochinon, even as a Begeris, she goes free, even though she never was an Aro. That's how the Rabbah wants to learn it. Sorry, that's how Abaya wants to learn it. And then we have the third view. Matkiflo Mar Barav Ashi. So Mar Barav Ashi now attacks the view of Abaya and says, V'lav kal v'chomerhu. I don't need to be told that a Begeris, the Islandist, goes free. I know that. And now, once again, the Gemara is not concerned about a lie, that the Torah is telling us something that isn't true. In this case, Mar Barav Ashi is questioning, it's unnecessary, it's redundant, because we have a kal v'chomer. Simonim shein metziyim mirushus av, metziyim mirushus odoin. Simonim, that's signs of puberty, take a girl out of the authority of her father. Sorry, do not take the girl out of the authority of her father. She becomes a naro, she's still in the authority of her father. Nevertheless, it takes her out from being an amo ivrio. So a girl shows signs of puberty, or she reaches the age of 12. At that point, if she's in her father's authority, she remains in her father's authority. If she's in the authority of an odon, she leaves the odon at that stage. But when a girl becomes 12 and a half, she is removed even from her father's authority. I know for sure that she can be removed from the rishus of the odon. I don't need to be told that in the posuk. What this comes to teach me is not that a Begeris Islandis goes free when she reaches Bagris, 20 years old. It comes to teach me that the sale was a valid sale. I might have thought that since the Torah says, if you sell a ketano into an amo ivrio, she goes out free when she becomes a naro, I might have thought that implies, if this girl is never going to become a naro because she's an Islandis, I may not sell her into as an amo in the first place. Kamash melon v'yotzochinom, so v'yotzochinom comes to teach me that I may sell her as an amo, and ultimately her bagrus will take her out. Now we'll deal with obviously a lot of questions that come up in this, but let's just focus first on the things that we need to focus on. And here we have the three views as to what we learn from this double statement of the Yotzochinon Ein Kosef. She leaves, an Amo Ivriya leaves the authority of her master. She leaves him Chinon without any payment. Ein Kosef, the Gemara repeats Ein Kosef. And we have three views. We have the view of Rabbo, that what this comes to teach us is a bozer v'limed al zeh. I don't need to be told that a Begeris goes out free because she goes out when she's a Naro already. The only thing is, if I wasn't told Begeris, I wouldn't know Naro. I wouldn't know which one it was. Just like Tosha v'Sochir. Asks Abaya, that doesn't make sense because the Torah would then be saying, giving us a case that cannot exist. For example, namely the case of a Begeris, that she leaves the rishus of her odoin when she becomes a begeris. That can't be. There's no case. She would already have left when she was a naro. So Rabbo says, no, it comes to teach you that a begeris, the islandist, goes free. And then Mar Barav Ashi tells you, no, I don't need to be told that. I can learn that bekal vachomer. What this comes to teach us is that if a man sold a young girl who was to become an islandist, that sale is a valid sale, even though she was an islandist and never became a naro altogether. Those are the three. Now, what I want to look at is the following, to start off with. A very difficult Rashi in Chumash, where Rashi seems to be learning not like the Gemara, on two fronts. So if you have the Rashi on Chumash with you, in Parashas Shemois, so it's Parashas Bishpotim, Sefer Shemois, Chof Aleph, Posuk Yud Aleph, which is the parasha of Amo Ivrio. So this is our famous posuk that we've been working with all these weeks. Ve'im shalosh eile lo ya'aseh lo, and if he doesn't do any of these three things, he doesn't marry her, he doesn't marry her off to his son, and nor does he let her go free through pidyon, through her buying her freedom back, Then v'yotzochin omein kosef, then she goes out free, there's no money to be paid. When is that? That's at the time of Nairus. So let's look at Rashi. The first part of the Rashi doesn't, I'm on the Rashi that starts v'yotzochin on. The first part of the Rashi doesn't affect us directly, and I'll just read through it. Ribo lo yitzia lezu, yoisem yimashi ribo la'avodim. The Torah tells us an exit for an amo ivrio that an eved, that a male eved doesn't have. Umahi ha'yitzio, and what is this exit that only an amo has? L'lamedecho shetetze besimonin, to teach us that she goes out as soon as she shows signs of puberty. B'tasheimo oid achetiotovis simonim, and she remains with him only until that time of simonim. V'im higiyu sheshonim kodim simonim kvar lomadnu shetetze. And we already know that if the sixth year, if the Shemitah year comes before the Simonim, then she goes out in any case. Because we've already learned that whether a male servant or a female servant leaves at Shemitah year. So come the Shemitah year, she goes no matter what. So if we know that she goes out with the Shemitah year, the same as an Eved, what's the Yotzachinam stated in this Posuk? She'im kodmu Simonim l'sheshonim teitzei behen. That if the simonim precede Shemitah year, she goes out with the simonim. So if she is sold when she's 10, and 1 month later she shows signs of puberty, she goes out free. It's just the bad luck of the owner. He doesn't get his full number of years of work. And then Rashi asks, and this is the part that concerns us, O'eino o'ema shetetze ela bevagrus. Maybe it only means bagrus. How do I know that when it says v'yotzochinom, it's talking about narus, about 12 years old? Maybe she stays working for another 6 months until 12 and a half. Talmud lomer en kesef. So that's why the apostle comes on and says en kesef lerabos yitzias bagrus, to include bagrus v'im loy ne'emru shnehem. And if the two of them would not be written, hayisiyomer v'yotzochinom zu bagrus, I would have learned v'yotzochinom to be talking about bagrus. There's only one statement. She goes out free. I would say, when does she go out free? When she's 12 and a half. That's the lesser chidush. The kach ne'emru shneihem. That's why we're told both. Shelo liten pischun pele bala din lachloik. So that nobody who wants to misunderstand it should have a basis for misunderstanding. It should be absolutely clear that a girl goes out at 12. She does not wait until she's 12 and a half. That's the Rashi. The problem is that Rashi goes against our Gemara. Because this is the view, the way Rashi learns the Pasuk is Rabbah's way of learning the Pasuk, the first way. And that way is pushed aside by Abaya. And yet Rashi learns the Chumash that way. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that in learning the Chumash Rashi that way, he doesn't learn it like the Mechilta learns it. The Mechilta said, V'yotzochinom elu yamei bagrus. From the first phrase, V'yotzochinom, we learn Boigeris. En kesef elu yumei narus. From the second phrase, we learn narus. But look what Rashi says. Talmud lomer, en kesef lerabos yitzias bagrus. Rashi says, en kesef comes to teach you bagrus. That's not what the Gemara says. Where does Rashi get that from? Those are the two kashas on the Rashi and the Chumash. And the Mizrahi asks that. The Mizrahi is one of the classical perushim of Rashi on Chumash. And the Marsha asks that on our Gemara. The Marsha asks that kasha on both of those two caches, on Rashi, and the Marashot deals with the answer, and we'll have a look at that. The other thing that the Marashot points out, which leads us into a way of dealing with this, is the Tosfos, second last Tosfos. B'yotzochinom elu yamei bagrus, en kesef elu yamei narus. V'im tomer asks Tosfos. Let's look at this Tosfos carefully. Tosfos is kasha. Bereisha havelei leminkat elu yamei narus v'hodu yamei bagrus. Why does the Gemara learn? Why does the Braisa learn that v'yotzochinom applies to the naro, and v'yotzochinom applies to the bogeris, and ein kosef applies to the naro? It should be the other way around. It should be that v'yotzochinom teaches you narus, and En Kosef teaches you Bagrus. Now, Tosfos doesn't say why it should be that way around. And that is the way around that Rashi has it in Chumash. So So Rashi in Chumash learns like Tosfos is Havamina. Tosfos says the right way would have been to put the Naro first. We should have learned Naro from Vyotzo Chinom, and we should have learned Bogeris from Ein Kosef. V'yesh Lomar answers Tosfos, so why does the Mechilta learn it the other way around? Mishum de Ein Kosef tzorich luch milim Enarus, kid'omar le'el. We have to use Ein Kosef to be talking about Narus because we've already used it for Narus to teach us something about Narus. What did we learn? Aval yesh kesef la'adonachet de'hainu yemei Narus de'enav zakeh b'kiddushi b'tu b'geris. We just used that to learn that if a father marries off a girl who's a Naro, he gets the money. We learn that from Ein Kosef. So clearly we're contextualizing the phrase of Ein Kosef to be referring to a Naro. That's why we learn it that way around. That's why Ein Kosef is Naro, and V'yotzachinom is Begeris. But were it not for that, the appropriate way to have this limud would have been the other way around, that V'yotzachinom would have taught us Naro, and Ein Kosef would have taught us Begeris, which is the way Rashi learns it in Chumash. And explains the Marsha, the reason that Rashi learns it that way in Chumash, is because Rashi doesn't bring the limud in Chumash of Ein Kosef. Rashi doesn't learn from this posuk. On his perush on the Chumash, he doesn't say that it's from this posuk that we learn that when a Naro gets married, she pays money, she's paid money, and the money belongs to the father. And since Rashi doesn't bring this perush on this posuk, there's no reason for him to learn it the wrong way around, so to say. The V'yotzachinam talking about Bogeris and the Ein Kosef talking about Naro, he can learn it the more natural way. He can learn it the more logical way, which Tosfos says me is the first one is Naro, and the second one is Bogeris. Why is that the more logical way? Explains the Marsha. We see from Tosha V'Sochir, we see which is the more logical way. When it said when Tosha V'Sochir, we're first told Toshav, and then we're told Sochir. We're told the Chol Zal Lo Yechal Kodesh. Toshav Kohen v'sochir lo yechal kodesh is what the Pasuk says in Vayikra. A toshav of a Kohen or a sochir may not eat kodesh, may not eat truma. And we say on that, bo zeh v'limid al zeh, bo sochir, the second one, the sochir, comes to teach you what the first one means. So the principle of bo zeh v'limid al zeh is always the second one teaches you the first one. In that case, in the case of Amo Ivrio, V'yotzachinom Ein Kosef, the second one should teach you that the first one's talking about Naro, which means the second one should be talking about Bogeris. That's why Tosfos says that's the right way around. V'yotzachinom should be Naro, and Ein Kosef should be Bogeris, and Bo Zeh, Bo Bogeris, V'limed Al Zeh, Bo Ein Kosef, V'limed, and it teaches that V'yotzachinom is talking about a Naro. That would be the way that we ought to learn it. And we don't learn it as Tosfos because of the fact that we've already used Ein Kosef to tell us something about Naro, so we keep Ein Kosef in the Naro context. That's how he wants to learn the Rashi. I want to look at Rashi a little bit differently. Because if you look at Rashi in our Gemara, let's look at Rashi in our Gemara, and we touched on this last week. But I think we'll see it much more clearly this week. Rashi says, Bo zeh v'limed al zeh, if you have this Rashi, a little bit more than halfway down the Omud of Rashi, Bo zeh v'limed al zeh, mitoich sheloi pirish narus b'mikro, elo me'elov hulamed. Since narus is not spoken about specifically in the Pasuk, it just says v'yotzo chinam. She goes out chinam and kosef. We're not told when. She'en lo nedover achil litlus yitzios aboy. There's nothing else to say. When does she go out? She's been sold for a certain amount of labor. What is the amount of labor until the Shemitah year? V'yotzo chinam implies that there are times when she leaves before the Shemitah year. What could those times possibly be? The only thing we've got is puberty, narus. Hutzrach lichtov shnehem. The Torah had to write both of them. The e cos of chad, because if the Torah would only have written one, either v'yotzo chinam or ein kosef, hava amina bagrus hud ashmin and kro. I would have thought that the Torah is telling me that she goes out at the age of bagrus. Avanarus le mapiklo. But now, Rifa would have said, no, at 12 years old, she doesn't yet go out. She only goes out at 12 and a half. Bochaveiro velimidelov. So the other one comes, its friend, its partner, either the Veyotso Chinam or the Ein Kosef comes. Al Kocho Chad Minayu Lenarus Ato. Clearly, one of them is coming to tell us Narus. Now, notice how carefully Rashi avoids attaching Narus to the one phrase and Bogeres to the other. He doesn't say Veyotso Chinam is Bogeres and Ein Kosef is Nairo, nor does he say it the other way around. He simply says you have both of them. If you've got two, then Narus is included somewhere. That's what's important, that there's a Veyotso Chinam and a repetition Ein Kosef. It's almost as if the Torah would have repeated the same word twice. Veyotso Chinam, Veyotso Chinam. And it doesn't matter which one is for Bogeres and which one is for Nairo. Rashi is not willing to go down Tosfos' line and get into a whole long discussion as to which one teaches which. It's irrelevant. This is not a ribui. We're not learning it in the sense of I know A already, so now the B must be teaching me another din. I know from Veyotso Chinam that a Bogeres goes out from labor. So what is Ein Kosef? Ein Kosef must teach me a Nairo. No, that's not the way it's to be learned. It's from the fact that there are two statements, both Chinam and Ein Kosef, the two of them together teach me that a girl goes out at Nairo, she goes out at 12, she doesn't have to stay in 12 and a half. If I'd only had one of them, I would have said 12 and a half. Having two of them, I say 12. That's Bo Zeh V'Limed Al Zeh. Now, it's true that in Tosha V'Sochi, Rashi learns differently, but Rashi tells us why. Well, the Gemara learns differently. In the case of Tosha V'Sochi, it says very clearly which one is which. If you look in the next Rashi, sorry, a few Rashis down, Bo Sochi V'Limed Al Toshov, the Al Korcho Chochad Minayu Lenitzahud Ata, one of them must be talking about a Kinyan Oilom, somebody who's been sold forever, U'Me'achal Shenichtivu Shnehem, and since they're both written, Mashmu'uta Denirza Mitoshov Atya. It's more clear to learn Nirza, a person who sold forever for 49 years, from the word Toshav, Shu Meyushov Etzla Yotze Min Hakone L'Sheshanim, because he's more settled, Meyushov. Somebody who's there for 49 years is there for a longer time than somebody who's there for only 6 years is not so Meyushov. So if you're talking about a Sochir, a hired hand, and a Toshav, a resident, and these are your two possibilities. One is a person sold for 6 years, and one is a person sold for 49 years. Clearly, the word Toshav refers to the 49-year sale, and Sochir refers to the 6-year sale. So in the case of Toshav and Sochir, it's clear which word means which. But in the case of Veyotso Chinam Ein Kosef, it's not clear which one means which, and it doesn't matter which one means which. All that really matters is that the two together mean Naira. That's what's important. And so the way you would need to learn the Gemara, according to Rashi, is Gufo, back to the two dots, Veyotso Chinam Eilu Yemei Bagrus Ein Kosef Eilu Yemei Narus. So the Mechilta comes and says, the Braisa says, if from Veyotso Chinam I know Bagrus, from Ein Kosef I know Narus, ask the Mora V'lichtu Rachmona Narus V'lui Boi Bagrus, tell me one and not the other. Omar Rabba says, Rabbo. Now the way Rashi would be learning this is that Rabbo's chidush is, no, don't learn the Braisa to say that Veyotso Chinam teaches you Bagrus and Ein Kosef teaches you Narus, because then you would be right, you don't need them both. Just tell me once. But this is a case of Bo Zeh V'limed Al Zeh. This is a case not of Bo V'yotso, Bo Bogeres and teaches Narus or whatever. This is Bo Zeh V'limed Al Zeh. The one comes to teach you what the other means. That is, the fact that there's two instead of one teaches me that that Narus is included and the girl goes free at 12. She doesn't have to wait until 12 and a half. I have that from the two. And if you look back at the Rashi in Chumash, you'll see that that's what Rashi's saying. Once we see clearly that Rashi's learning differently from Tosfos, Rashi's not learning like Tosfos that the one you learn Bogeres from the one and you learn Nairo from the other, he says you learn Nairo from the fact that there are two, it doesn't matter which one. If we learn through the Rashi and Chumash, you'll see that that's what Rashi learns. Just that last part of the Rashi again, or Eina Omer Shetetze Elo Bevagrus, maybe it's coming to teach me that a girl goes out at Bagrus at 12 and a half. Talmud Lomar, Ein Kesef, the Rabbis Yitzias Bagrus. It comes to teach me Ein Kesef, Now, the simple meaning so far is, and this is where we could be misled in our understanding of Rashi, is that Ein Kesef comes to teach me Bagrus. And since Ein Kesef comes to teach me Bagrus, the Yotzochino must be teaching me Nairus. And on that, they all ask the question. The Mechilta says the opposite. But look how Rashi goes on. V'im loy ne'emru shnehem, hayisi yomer v'yotzochinom zu Bagrus. And if they weren't both there, I would have learned v'yotzochinom as Bagruch. L'kach ne'emru shnehem. He doesn't say l'kach ne'emar v'en kosef. Rashi doesn't say that's why en kosef is put there. Rashi says l'kach ne'emru shnehem. That's why there are two statements. It doesn't matter which is which. The main thing is there are two. If there are two, then I know v'yotzochinom must mean a naira. And Ein Kosef just comes to tell me that the Yotzach Kesef means a Naira. It's not that Ein Kesef means Bagrus. The fact that there are two means Naira and Bagrus. So then I've got a clear understanding, and this is not how the Maharsho answers it, and nor the Mizrahi. But if we learn the Rashi clearly in the Gemara, it's possible that we can learn the Rashi in the Chumash the same way, and then we don't have the difficulty of why does Rashi, the Mechilta says that V'yotzach Hinnom teaches me Bagrus and Ein Kosef teaches me Narus, why does Rashi turn it around? Aren't his Rashi not turning it around? He's saying it's irrelevant. Once Rabbo teaches me the din of Bozeh V'limed Alzeh, it makes no difference which teaches us what. What's important is the two together teach me that she goes out at the age of 12 and not 12 and a half. So I understand the order. The second question that the Maharsho asks is still difficult, and that is, why does Rashi even bring this view to explain the Chumash? We push aside Rabbo. We say we can't say that the Pasuk is talking about Bozeh V'limed Alzeh, because then the Torah would be telling us something that's nonsensical, something that could never occur. And therefore Rabbo answers that we're talking about Eilonis, we're talking about a Begeris, and therefore Abai answers we're talking about a Begeris to Eilonis, which could occur. That is, that a girl could go out when she's a begeris because she never was a naira. That's how Abaya learns it. Why does Rashi bring Rabbo's view in the way he explains it? Answers the Maharsho. And here you see how carefully one has to learn a piece of Gemara, and that the way a piece of Gemara looks at the outset when one learns it superficially is not the way the Gemara really is. One has to go much more deeply into it. The way the Maharsho learns this piece of Gemara is that Rabbo also holds Bozeh V'limed Alzeh. It's not as if Rabbo is disagreeing. When it says Elo Amar Abaya, it's not that Abaya is disagreeing with Rabbo on the din of Bozeh V'limed Alzeh. That's not what he's arguing about. He's saying it is a Bozeh V'limed Alzeh, but the second one, the V'yotzo Chinon, which teaches us Bogeris, is not teaching us a Bogeris in one guf, but a Bogeris in two gufim. It's not teaching us a stage of Bogeris and a stage of Nara as two stages of life in one girl. It's teaching us about two different girls. One is a normal girl who goes through Nairus and then Bagrus. She goes out at the age of Nairus, at the age of 12. The other is a different girl, who doesn't become a Nairo at all. She becomes a Bogeris at the age of 20 because she never showed signs of puberty. She's an Eilonis. That girl goes out when she's a Bogeris, and that's what Ein Kosef teaches me. So if we look in the Gemara in Abaya's statement itself, he says, Elo Omar Abaya, about 7 lines from the bottom, Elo Omar Abaya, Lo Yinitzrecho Elo Lebege de Eilonis. This comes to teach us the case of a beggar, the islandis. Salka daita chamina benarus tepuk bevagrus loy tepuk. I might have thought that it comes to teach us narus, and but bagrus there's no case for, and therefore an islandis who's never a naira, maybe she doesn't go out. Kamash milan, it comes to teach us that when she's a begeris, she goes out with the sign of begeris. An islandis goes out at 20. And therefore, what does Ein Kosef mean? If a Yotzochinam teaches you that a Begeris goes out at 20, why does the Torah tell me Ein Kosef as well? That comes to tell me that a normal girl goes out not when she's a Begeris at 12 and a half, she goes out even earlier, she goes out at the age of 12. Bozeh V'limed Alzeh. So when Rashi learns Bozeh V'limed Alzeh, he's learning like Abaya, not like Rabbo. He's learning about when he talks about Begeris, he's talking about a Begeris the Islandist, because there is no case of another Bogeris. That's what he's talking about. And Bozeh V'limed Alzeh, he's teaching me that a Bogeris goes out An islandess goes out when she's a begiris, and since I know that an islandess goes out when she's a begiris, Ein Kosef must be teaching me that a normal girl goes out even when she's a naira, when she's only 12 years old. That's the way then that we learn Rashi according to the Marsha. The second thing that I just want to look at briefly in this piece of Gemara is how this works actually with the Begirist Islandess. And this is the piece that the Ramban, other Rishonim ask about, is just what's the Metzius? How does this actually operate? And we've got to look at, if you've got the Ramban in front of you, I'm going to go through it. It's a small piece of Ramban. And if you don't, you'll just follow the translation. He brings the Kasher of the Ravid. The Ramban starts with the Kasher of the Ravid. And he says, this that Abaya says, I might have thought that an islandess doesn't go out free when she's a begiris. But it's only a naira. If she's a naira, she goes out free with nairos. If it had only said once, the yotzachinam, I would have thought maybe she only goes out with nairos. But an islandess who never is a naira, maybe she never goes free other than at the Shemitah time. Kamashmanan, I'm taught that no, she goes out bevagrus. Asks the Ravid, Dezovin lo emas, when did the sale take place? Let's try two possibilities. E dezovin lo bekatnus. Let's say she was sold when she was a ktana. So now we're talking about this girl who's going to become an islandess. She's not going to mature in the normal way. If she was sold as a ktana, so she was 10 years old when she was sold. Bevagrus ma bayagaba, how is she going to be there when she's 20? If she was sold when she was 10 or 11, the longest she could stay is 6 years. Even if she was sold the year after Shemitah, that means another 6 years. So by the time she's 16, she goes out. Hayotze b'shesh. There's no way she's there when she's 20. Ela dezovin lo bas tesvov, shoy soktana. Lefishulo heviyoshte saris, viyotze bevagrushu shnas kaf. So what will you say then? No, this is a girl who didn't mature, didn't show signs of puberty. So at 16 years old, she's still not showing signs of puberty, so she has the din of a ketana. Her father then sells her as a slave at 16. Comes age 20, and we find she becomes an islandess. 20, she still has no signs of puberty, and so we say, well, she's an islandess. La Rav de Omar be Yevomus, says the Ravid, according to Rav in Yevomus, Gabi Sori, Shulo Yviya Shtei Saris, Nase Godel Amafreya, Rav says that a saris, which is a male who doesn't show any signs of sexual maturity and cannot reproduce, when he becomes 20 and we see for sure that he's not going to mature, he becomes a godel, he becomes an adult retrospectively at age 13. We don't say he's an adult from 20. At age 20, we realize that he's abnormal, that he's not going to grow into a normal male. And therefore we say from the perspective of legal maturity, sexual maturity, he'll never have. And therefore his legal maturity was from when he's 13. That works retrospectively. How would you think that a girl doesn't go out when she becomes 20 and shows no signs of puberty? The whole sale was a mistake. Because when he sold her, she was retrospectively a godel, so we should undo the sale. So again, he sells her at 16, thinking she's a ketana. She goes to 20 without showing signs of puberty, revealing, therefore, that she's been a gedola since 12 and a half. So when he sold her at 16, he had no right to sell her. So we should undo the sale. The owner should be repaid the amount of money he gave. The father should repay the owner. And the owner should return the value of any work that she did. And the sale should not be valid. And therefore, the Ravid says, the only way I can understand this Gemara is to say that in the case of this girl, it's not like Rav, the Einu Naise Godel Mafreya, Ela Mishor Shenodu Simone Saris, V'chein Hilo Naise Godel Mafreya, Ela Mishor Shenodu Bo Simone Ailenis, V'chein Shenodu Lo Keshe Machoro. So says the Ravid, therefore, I must say, like Shmuel, not like Rav, that it does not work retrospectively. And so then the case would be clear. The father sells her at 16, thinking she's a ketana. At 20, it emerges she's an islandess. She's never going to have puberty. And therefore, she becomes a gedola, says the Ravid, at 20, not retrospectively. Because if she became a gedola retrospectively, the sale was null and void. And that's how the Ravid learns it. Says the Ramban, Ve'ika kushyo leso. The Ravid's question is not even a question. Because what this is how we learn the Gemara according to Rav, who says she does become a Gedolah retrospectively. The case is the father sold her at 9 or 10 years old when she was a Ktana. And she leaves the employment of the Odin when the Shemitah year comes, not when she's 12 because she doesn't show signs of puberty. So he sells her at 9, she works for him 10, 11, 12, 13. Let's say at 14 the Shemitah comes and she goes out free at 14. Then she becomes 20 and we discover she's an Eilonis. So I say, according to Rav, she becomes a Gedolah retrospectively, which means she became a Gedolah at 12. So she was sold at 9, she worked 9, 10, 11. At 12 she should have gone out. And it comes out then that she should have left at 12 and a half, or according, at 12 according to some, when the retrospective gadlus starts, and therefore he has to return to the girl any of the labor she did for him beyond the age of 12 and a half. And that's what the Gemara means. I might have thought that the sale is not a sale. I might have thought that period of time that she worked over and above the age of 12 and a half is not valid because she's an islandist, comes the Gemara to say, no, she goes out when she's a Bergeris, or that's what the Gemara comes to teach us, that she in fact does go out when she's a Bergeris. I might have thought, no, she was sold at 9 or 10. She didn't show signs of puberty. So she carried on working until the Shemitah, even though that was at age 15 or 16. I might have thought that that's the case. No, explains the Ramban. What Abaye is teaching us is, if when she's 20 she still hasn't developed signs of puberty, that means she's an Eilonis. And since she's an Eilonis, she became a Gedolah at age 12 and a half, which means she was entitled to leave at 12 and a half. And all the labor she did after 12 and a half, she should be paid for, because that was not included in the original sale of an Amo Ivriya. She was not an Amo Ivriya after 12 and a half, because she was an Eilonis, and that money needs to be returned to her. Which is very similar to the way Tosfos learns Marbar Avashi, the last Tosfos on the page, where Tosfos also questions how does this actually work? Why would the sale not be a valid sale? Because when she's a Ketana, we don't know that she's going to be an Eilonis. Why would I think that if a man sold a girl at 9 or 10 years old as an amo, sold her labor to an odin, and then it turns out she's an islandist, says Marbar Avashi, I might have thought the sale is not valid. Ask Tosfos, how could the sale not be valid? Who knows it at age 9 or 10 that she's going to be an islandist? V'yesh Lomar says, Tosfos, four lines from the end of the Omid, the last Tosfos, D'haki ko'omar, lo yaviz vinas vina v'tzoricha odin l'harzir ma'aseho v'ha'av yachzir ha'kesef. What we mean is the Odin has to repay for the work, and the father has to repay for the sale. The gamein shayach bodin yudim yado, and if he married her off to his son, or he married her himself using the mechanism of yehud, that doesn't work, because I might have thought the sale is no sale. Comes the Torah to teach me v'yotzo chinom en kosef. The two are stated that not only does a girl go out at narus, but a girl goes out at bagrus. And therefore, even if a girl is an Eilonis, the sale is a valid sale. She doesn't have to be a Naro in order to validate the sale. Any young girl's labor can be sold when she's a Ketana, and even if she turns out to be an Eilonis, the sale is a valid sale, and instead of going free at the age of 12, at the age of Naro, she goes free at Bagrus, which in the case of an Eilonis is at the age of 20. That's how the Tosfos learns it, which is similar to the lines of the Ramban, different from the way the Ravid wants to learn it. And the Rabban then keeps, and so does Tosfos, is able to keep with the principle that when an Eilonis becomes 20 and it's clear that she's never going to develop signs of puberty, she's considered a Gedolah lemafreya, she's considered a retrospective Gedolah, and were it not for the Pasuk comes to teach me that therefore after the age of 12 and a half, she was not entitled to be a servant, she was not expected to be an amo, and any money that is due to her has to be returned to her, and any yield that might have taken place doesn't really apply. That's the piece of Gemara. So the Shira had two sections. The main section was dealing with the Rashi and Chumash to understand the Machlokas Abaya and Rabbo, and the fact that although Rashi seems to be explaining the Chumash according to Rabbo, who gets pushed aside in the Gemara, the Maharshal says no, he's actually explaining it according to Abaya, because Abaya also holds Bozer Velimedze. And the second question, why does Rashi invert the Mechiltas Limud and say that Chinon teaches us Bogeres and Vyotso Chinon and Ein Kosef teaches us Vyotso Chinon teaches us Naro and Ein Kosef teaches us Bogeres? So we said no, Rashi's not inverting it, Rashi's simply saying that we need both, and since the two are stated, it doesn't matter which one you learn from which. The two are stated, we learn Naro from the fact that it's written twice. If you're able to go over it a little bit and look at the Rashi carefully inside both the Rashi in Chumash and the Rashi in Gemara, you'll appreciate the way we've learned it. I'll once again turn off the tape, and if anybody wants to make any comments, please stay online.